disinformation, isn't it? When something that you didn't previously know is made known to you. That's what news is. The best news is when you weren't expecting anything particular at all. And then out of nowhere, suddenly something wonderful happens. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, when you win something or something is given to you unexpectedly. I don't know about you, but I don't really play the National Lottery, so I've never won that. Unlike all the people that do play the National Lottery and also never win it. But there has been a couple of times when I've won something unexpected. When I was in the Scout Marching Band, back when I was really cool, I remember we were in this national competition and I won it. I won the best young brass player. I couldn't believe it. It was completely unexpected. Just like that. Unexpected. Tell you what. Argus, the gift that keeps on giving. Don't worry about that. You know, there was another occasion, actually, when I got an unexpected gift that was even better than a tree. And that gift was, well, it wasn't actually my gift. It was, have you ever, like, been in a situation where you've entered someone else into a competition? And, well, me and my brothers, so I was growing up with two younger brothers and an older sister. And as siblings, we decided one year to enter my mum into a competition. And it was a competition run by the Argus in Brighton. And it was a competition for who was Britain's most stressed mum. And she won! Amazing! She did! She got a day trip to London, she got pampered for the day, and she even got given a £2,500 jacuzzi bath, and it was installed into our house. Isn't that amazing? It was, I'm pretty sure she found it good. Most of it, anyway. Well, in both cases, the gifts were unexpected, but it was good news. It was good news. And the shepherds, they were on the hillside, as we've seen and heard about, and it's a familiar part of the Christmas story. They were looking after their sheep in the hills that surround Bethlehem. And you know, that was their life. That's what they did. They lived out there. It was quite a responsible job, really. And as far as we can tell, they were simply just getting on with their lives. That's what the shepherds were doing. Nothing was going especially well, but equally, nothing was going especially badly either. They weren't expecting anything unusual to happen. But in the middle of a normal night, they received good news. Initially, though, they thought it was bad news. And I guess that's probably the human nature inside of us. You know, when someone comes up to you and they say, I've got some news to tell you. No one thinks it's good news, do they? You immediately go to the negative. And that's what the shepherds did. And when the angel appeared in front of them and the sky lit up all around them, they were understandably terrified and probably thought that the end had come. But the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For today, a Saviour has been born. I wonder if you, like the shepherds, are just getting on with your normal life. It might just be going fine. I'm sure there are always things that about our lives that we would prefer to be a little bit better. But by and large, it might be that things are just ticking along well for you right now. You know, there are times when God breaks into our lives, even when we don't expect it. And it can bring a surprise, but it's a good one. It's good news. Who knows, this Christmas, he might even be breaking into your life right now. You know, there is good news for all of us this Christmas that the Saviour has been born, and that Saviour is Jesus. Another name that he was given was Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what Jesus is. He is God with us. He is the Saviour of mankind. And he came to this earth and he lived an amazing life and he died in the end, didn't he? And he died for us that we may have all our sins paid for on the cross. All the things that we do wrong might be paid for. Because of Jesus, we can know a relationship with God. We can know a relationship with him because the things that we do wrong, our sin, has been paid for and dealt with. Maybe you need to hear that this morning. But the shepherds, they were having that normal night, and then that night turned into something amazing when they realized that God had come to be with them. And you might be having a normal kind of year, a normal kind of Christmas, but you can turn it into something amazing by accepting Jesus and knowing him into your life, because he will transform it when you do. But you know, there was good news, not just for the shepherds who were having a normal life or normal evening. It was also good news for Joseph. Because there's another type of good news, isn't there? And there's that good news that's received in a different type of situation. This is when things are going wrong, when the situation looks bleak, and you start losing hope, and you're expecting the worst. But then, at the last minute, it turns out okay, and it all comes good in the end. And you think, phew, wasn't that good news? Out of all the people in the Christmas story, I think that that's probably most true of this man, Joseph. He was a nice guy, and he was a carpenter, and he was in love. He was engaged to be married. He was a nice girl, and he was married to a nice girl, and that girl was called Mary. But one day, you know, Mary came to him and said, "I've got some news. I'm pregnant, and I'm going to have a baby." I don't suppose that she did the whole bun in the oven thing, actually. Maybe. Nah, she didn't. But the thing is that when he received that news, that was terrible for Joseph, because they weren't married yet, which means they hadn't been together intimately yet. It meant that what probably was going through Joseph's mind is that, well, she's been with someone else. And seeking to do the right thing, because he was a good guy, Joseph tried to sort of separate from Mary quietly. But what happened then was that the angel came again in a dream and gave Joseph good news and said, "Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." The arrival of Jesus in the bleak situation brought hope to Joseph, and Jesus still brings hope in difficult situations today. It may be that this Christmas, that is closer to how you're feeling. It might be actually you're going through a really difficult situation. It may be that over this next year you can see hardship coming. It might look uncertain at best, or at worst, completely without hope. But Jesus brings hope in difficult situations. Whatever challenge you may face, whether it is illness or aggravation or something else, we can all find hope in this man called Jesus. And here is how, because when Jesus was born into this world, God himself living among men, he showed people the truth, that there is more to life than what we see with our eyes in front of our noses, that there is a God and that he is good and that he wants you to be your everlasting father. So Jesus shows the way how to make that happen, like a torch lighting up a path on the dark night. And so in John's gospel, it describes the Christmas story by saying, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world, and he was Jesus." Jesus would shine his light into your life as well. He can do that. By believing in Jesus, you become a child of God. And then whatever situation you're facing now, you know that you have a wonderful future in store with you, because there is hope in the good news of Jesus. And the truth is that everybody who does not know Jesus, their life is bleak. That's quite hard to hear, isn't it? If you don't know Jesus for yourself, your life can be bleak. But every person can be rescued from their sin. Jesus came to be a savior of all people, and anyone can come to know him. You know, I was thinking about this, and I remembered a situation that happened recently to a guy called John. His name's John Pradham. And Grace Church is part of a family of churches called Commission. And in Commission, we have churches all the way across the UK, also in Spain and in Portugal and in India. And we have one church in Nepal in the city of Pokhara. And that church is led by John and his family. John and his wife, Esther, have a little daughter called Aradhana. And when Aradhana was 2, John took her out for a walk in part of Nepal, and Aradhana fell down a narrow crevice. Because that they have this a lot all across Nepal, these narrow crevices. But this fissure in the ground was 60 feet deep. And it was very, very narrow. 60 feet deep and very narrow. They could hear Aradhana cry out, but they couldn't reach her and they couldn't see her. In the hours that followed, the police came, and then the army, and then various specialist rescue teams, but none of them could reach Aradhana at the bottom of this crevice. The media picked up this desperate situation, and news spread all over Nepal, and it was on TV. In fact, even the media in the UK got hold of it, and it was broadcast here. John and the family were absolutely desperate in this situation, and they cried out to God. Many of the churches, in fact, in commission in the UK, like the ones in Winchester, got together to do special prayer meetings to pray for them. And one of our other elders called David, who's in Midhurst today, was at one of those prayer meetings praying for this girl. After about 15 hours stuck underground, Aradhana stopped crying and stopped answering any calls. There was a total and dreadful silence. Everyone above ground was fearing the worst. And when it got to 20 hours, all hope was beginning to fade. But then a young lad called Kamal, who was poor, who was skinny, he was a street kid, he was 10 years old, he saw what was happening on the news, and he went to the scene of the accident. He thought that he could help, and he asked the rescue teams, "Let me climb down, I reckon I could get down there." In fact, this kid wasn't in school or anything like that. He used to just mess about on the street and didn't have much of a family either himself. But of course, no one would let him at first. But he went anyway. And just managing to squeeze down between the rocks, he was able to find Aradhana. And it was a shock, really, because she was relatively unhurt. And she was able to encourage her out of this little part of the crevice that she was in and get a rope around her. And then they were able to pull her up. So after a fall of 60 feet, followed by 22 hours stuck underground without any food or water, Aradhana was rescued and alive and well. That was good news, wasn't it? It's good news to that family. It was completely on the other side of the world. But there was relief all around in hearing the good news of this girl's rescue. But just like that poor boy, Kamal, climbed down the crevice to save Aradhana, Jesus climbs down from heaven, doesn't he? To rescue us from our sin. It's good news that he brought to Joseph. And the angel said, "You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." You know, knowing Jesus is also good news to the poor. There is another way that the news of Jesus is good, and that is to the poor. And we see that especially in Mary's song. When Mary was expecting to have Jesus, she sang a song of praise, which was recorded in Luke's Gospel. And it's quite a famous song now that she sang, called the Magnificat. And in it, some of the words of Mary's song say things like this: "He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things." When Jesus was a man and began his public ministry, he always confirmed the heart of God that was for the poor and inclined to those that are needy or disadvantaged. And he quoted Old Testament when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me and anointed me to preach good news to the poor." He's good news to everyone. Good news to Joseph when he was going through good times. Good news to, Joseph when he's going through bad times. Good news to the shepherds when they're going through good times. Good news to the poor. And as God's children, we have been rescued freely by his grace. And now we continue to show that same grace through acts of love and compassion. And so this church gets stuck in with the poor and gets stuck into with people, different lives that are in lots of different situations. And I'd just like to show you a video that's going to highlight a couple of things from two of our members of Grace Church that are here, that will be here today.
My name's Wendy. I live in Verdham, between Chichester and the sea. I am married to Guy. I've got three children, all over 18. My day job is in mental health, so I help support adults with mental health issues in the community of Chichester.
I'm Dave. I live in Chichester. I'm married to Lisa. We've got two grown-up children. Ellie's just started as midwife and Jacob's a student. I work for County Council. I've been working there for about 10 or 15 years now.
I didn't become a Christian until I was 28, and I really had, as far as I was concerned, I'd blown it on every level of my life. So, you know, as a teenager, I had this list of things that I would never do this, I would never do that, I would never do such and such. Yeah. And as I grew older and life got a bit out of hand, one by one I blew every moral code I had.
Yeah.
And by the time I was 28, I had nothing left. And I truly felt bankrupt, emotionally, morally bankrupt. And by then I had a baby in a basket, and I kept looking at her and thinking, if I don't do something, she's going to copy me, and that's a big problem.
Yeah.
So I kind of came into the kingdom of God knowing I'd blown it. I had no illusions about that at all. I didn't think I was a good person who was just going to tack God on. I knew that was not the case.
So I only came to Jesus about 10 or 11 years ago. I'd spent a long time believing there was a God, but when I looked at the world around me, I just thought, well, he hasn't done a great job, and why would I worship him? And then I'd been to Sunday school as a kid, and we took the kids along to church to learn about Jesus and stuff, and basically because I thought it would help them to grow up good. But it became quite clear to me as I sat in church every week that God had brought me there, and I was hearing stuff in the preach all the time that made me change my mind. So I just thought, well, I've got to put my trust in God now. Still lots of answers questions I don't know the answers to. But I'm just trusting God that he knows what's best for me. And I let him deal with my life, really, I guess. And that's made a big difference to me. I used to wake up in the night worrying about things that had happened before, worrying about things that people had said years before, and remembering those. And all that's gone now. I'm just at peace. I've got just the great joy of knowing God. And that's something that I just felt I had to pass on. You can't keep it to yourself. I kind of say it's like winning the lottery and not giving it up, but in fact it's not, is it? Because it's something that's there for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you give it away, the more you get yourself back.
And so, you know, years later, I find myself in prison ministry, and I found quite extraordinary that I could relate so well to those guys. And I think a lot of it was because I did not dare judge anybody. And that has mattered to those guys. I don't know how well I'd relate to any of them. But actually, when you boil it down to the nitty gritty of selfish, sinful life,
yeah,
we're all the same. And what gives me hope will give you hope, you know. So I found myself in situations that I never thought I would be in. Sitting with a guy, maybe covered with tattoos, ex-gang member, violent crimes, sitting crying because his mum's in hospital and he can't visit her. And we just sat there and we got through a box of tissues together. But the rewards have been incredible. And now we're just delighted that we've got several guys from prison now who have settled in the church.
Mm.
Because we built that relationship with them, and because we shared our lives with them, and because we didn't judge them, and because we told them, look, Jesus is real. He can forgive you. You know, your guilt can be taken away here. Nothing, no one else can give you that.
when church was starting to think about a Tuesday group, a group for people with additional needs, and I'd worked with people with disabilities a lot in my life, it was just very natural for me to do that. So we meet sort of monthly on a Tuesday. It's a bit like church, really. So we do worship, we do prayers, there'll be a bit of chat and tea and coffee. And it's just great to see people reacting, people coming up to pray for each other, and for things, you know, much wider world problems and things. It's been a real revelation for me to see how much people want to say.
It's really, really encouraging. It's really great to hear your bit of your story as well.
It's good, isn't it? It makes such a difference in people's lives, knowing that because Jesus has made a difference to so many lives across this church, that they're willing to then step out and make a difference in others. And God's heart is always inclined. We use that word poor, but actually in that video we talked about people in the prison, people that have additional needs. As a church, we get involved in lots of different areas of life. And if you want to know more, then you can ask me, you can ask the friends that you came with. I just want to finish just by, we're going to pray in a moment. We're going to stand and pray, and then we'll sing two more carols. But you know, Jesus is good news if life is okay. Jesus is good news if you're facing challenge. And Jesus is good news if you're in, if you're counted amongst the poor. In fact, whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever you previously thought about him, I want to encourage you to get to know the good news that he is. Get to know this guy, Jesus. And that's why the angels could sing out, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people, for everyone. Yeah. Oh, sorry. And so there's no one excluded. All people includes you. And this Christmas, hear the good news of Jesus that is for you. Get to know him more closely. Put your trust in him. There's lots of ways you can do that by asking your friends, coming on one of our Alpha courses where you can go and ask questions about him. But let's stand together. We're going to sing again. So stand. Let's stand with me. As we get ready to sing our final two carols, I'm just going to pray. Dear God, I just want to thank you for sending your son Jesus into this world. Thank you that you gave up, that he gave up all the riches of heaven to be born as a baby, to live through this life and to save us by dying for us on the cross. Thank you that in that death he has paid for the things that we do wrong. Thank you that this is good news for us regardless of the situations that we face. I pray that around this room would you bring hope, Lord God, to all our lives. Would you break in when we need it? I pray, Father, Lord God, that we would know your presence this Christmas. I pray that we would know you personally. Would you be with us all, I pray. Amen. Amen.